We are in a study of the life of the prophet Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, and we've been looking at stories from Samuel, and we started last week or 2 weeks ago in kind of a study within that of the life of King Saul, the first king in Israel. I think of the picture, at least I have in my mind, of King Saul and the descriptions that we have of him. I just think of this tall man that the Bible says stood a head taller than those around him. I see him as strong. I see him as brave, probably good looking. And he was just the perfect, he was the perfect man to be the king in Israel. And he started out with a heart that honored God and served him. Several things about Saul that I want to especially highlight today show us that he had a heart that wanted to follow God in the beginning. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1 says, Saul was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned over Israel 42 years. And so Saul lived to be the age of 72, and 40 of those years he was king over Israel, over half his life. The early part of Saul's reign as king included some very great victories. And though it's kind of hard to know exactly the timeline of how many years in between this event and when this happened, we kind of get the general impression from Saul's life that in the beginning, Saul did a lot of things that were successful, and God used him in a mighty way. Early on, we clearly know that God was with Saul, and God led Saul, and God listened, and Saul listened to God, and we see this connection, this relationship between the king of Israel and the God who chose him to be king. We know also during this time when Israel became king that Israel was surrounded by several enemies that wanted to destroy them. And part of the reason that the people wanted a king, and even though their hearts weren't right and they were rejecting somewhat the authority of God, they wanted a king because they wanted somebody to stand up and defend them and lead them in battle and lead them against the enemies around Israel. And we read in 1 Samuel of who some of the enemies of Israel were at the time. Of course, the Philistines. Many stories about the Philistines in the book of Samuel. There are the Moabites and the Amalekites. And today's story is focused on the Ammonites. Names that you've probably heard and you thought, boy, I hope I never have to repeat them again. Maybe you know who they are. Maybe you know a little bit about all these tribes around Israel. But the reality that all of them were very wicked people in many ways. And they did not honor God, and they worshiped many gods. And they were known, in several of them, for their cruelty and brutality. And there are just a lot of things about the enemies around Israel that pressed in upon Israel. And it was into this time period that the people called for a king, and God chose this man, King Saul. But we also read during the early period of Saul's life that, as I said, that Saul did have some successes. And we read where God was with Saul and helped him. Chapter 14, verse 23 says, "So the Lord rescued Israel that day, and the battle moved on beyond Beth-Aven." That's just an example. The Lord rescued Israel. The focus on all these battles that are successful is that God was with them, that God helped them, that God was able to pull them out of what seemed like desperate circumstances. Every time Israel was attacked and Saul called out to the Lord helped them. Every time Saul, the king, went before the Lord and asked the Lord for help, God responded and delivered them. But then there's also another part and reality of Saul's life. Out of 40 years that he's king, the first few years maybe went well, but his life from then on, to be just real candid about who Saul was and kind of the breadth of the 40 years as king, most of the life of Saul was filled with tragedy and failure and bitterness and separation from God and desperation. And this man that started out so strong and so tall and such a great leader, we'll find that there's another side to Saul's life. And we're going to look at both sides. Today I want to look at the Saul and how he began well. And then we're going to take a more candid look into the ugly side of what Saul became. And you think, well, why do we study Saul? You know, and generally I say that I believe every chapter in the Bible, every story has a purpose for me. I believe that. I believe that God wants to speak to me and speak to us. And I believe God's word is that way. He has something to say to us. But why particularly Saul? Why look at these stories that are painful as we go through in Samuel? Well, the truth is the choices that we make will bring us closer to God or drive us away from God. And Saul's life reflects that. We can walk toward God or away from God. And Saul had the opportunity to choose. And for a while he chose what was right. But then he began to question the authority of God. He began to question who was in charge. He began to question who it was that really should be making the decisions. And when he began to do that, Saul's life drifted away and then totally just went further and further away from the presence and the spirit and the leading of God. Of all the characters in the Bible, Saul's life and the stories that we find in Samuel are a great picture of what happens when someone starts out with God, but they decide somewhere along the way that what they think and they believe is more important than listening to the voice of God. And that's what happened to Saul. And so for these few weeks, we're going to focus on Saul, begin with what went well, but then we're going to move into the rest of his life. One other reason I want to say that I think Saul's a great person to study in the Bible is especially for men. Especially for men. I think there's things in the stories about Saul that really relate to who men are. And who, when I read the stories, I think, boy, I can relate to that. I can relate maybe to the temptation. Maybe I can relate to the way of thinking that Saul stepped into. I can think, and maybe there's a part of me at times that looks at and reads those stories and I say, boy, I can see where I might could fall down that direction in the way I think about God and I think about life. And so I just want to say, maybe there's other men like that are here today. Maybe men out there, maybe sometimes you start out with great intentions, but the enemy wants to come and kind of get a hold of who's really in charge of your life. And maybe you might feel a little bit different about authority as you go through and you face life circumstances. And I want to challenge men especially. Again, I believe that the scriptures are for all of us, but I really do want to say in this series, I want to challenge the men of our church, and especially the young men of our church, to read the stories of Samuel and read about Saul. And say, does God speak to me about who I am? He started well. He started with a tender heart. He was listening. He listened to the counsel of Samuel. He listened to the word of the Lord in the beginning. And yet after a time, he began to be pulled away. I don't know if we have anybody here 30 years old. I know I'm stepping out on them. How old are you, Pastor Shane? I can't remember. Well, you're too young. How old are you, Tim? You're 35? Wow. All right, I'll just quit there then. All right, never mind. I thought one of you two got to be 30. I don't know. But men, I do want to ask you. I want to ask you to give your heart, if you feel like you could, to Saul's life and say, God, what would you say to me about Saul? Mike, you're over 30, right? Yeah, okay, I'll move on. All right. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 11. I'm going to read one of the battles, the early battles of, it's the first battle of Saul. This is a great victory. Man, this is one we're going to go, wow, Saul really had it here. And I want to highlight, what is it about Saul in this story that it's good for us to see a man who did what was right? So if you'd like to follow along, chapter 11, verse 1. Nabash, the Ammonite, went up and besieged Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to him, make a treaty with us so that we will be subject to you. Now, Nahash the Ammonite replied, I will make a treaty with you only on the condition that I gouge out the right eye of every one of you and so bring disgrace on all of Israel. The elders of Jabesh said to him, give us 7 days so we can send messengers throughout Israel. If no one comes to rescue us, we will surrender to you. When the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul, and reported these terms to the people, they all wept aloud. Just then Saul was returning from the fields behind his oxen, and he asked, what is wrong with this people? why are they weeping? Then they repeated to him what the men of Jabesh had said. When Saul heard their words, the Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he burned with anger. He took a pair of oxen, cut them into pieces, and sent the pieces by messengers throughout Israel, proclaiming, "This is what will be done to the oxen of anyone who does not follow Saul and Samuel." Then the terror of the Lord fell on the people, and they turned out as one man. When Saul mustered them at Bezek, the men of Israel numbered them 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. They told the messengers who had come, "Say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, by the time the sun is hot tomorrow, you will be delivered." When the messengers went and reported this to the men of Jabesh, they were elated. They said to the Ammonites, "Tomorrow we will surrender to you, and you can do to us whatever seems good to you." The next day, Saul separated his men into three divisions during the last watch of the night, and they broke into the camp of the Ammonites and slaughtered them until the heat of the day. Those who survived were scattered, so that no two of them were left together. The people then said to Samuel, "Who was it that asked, 'Shall Saul reign over us? Bring these men to us, and we will put them to death.'" But Saul said, "No one shall be put to death today, for this day the Lord has rescued Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal," and there reaffirmed the kingship. So all the people went to Gilgal and confirmed Saul's king in the presence of the Lord. There they sacrificed fellowship offerings before the Lord, and Saul and all the Israelites had a great celebration. What a story. It does raise some questions that I don't have time to look at today. So if you have questions about stories in the book of Samuel, that's good. We all do. It's good to keep sorting through them. But I do want to address some things about Saul today. On one side of the battle, you have Nahash, the Ammonite. He's strong, he's powerful, he's wicked, he's cruel, he's a murderer. He was destroying the Israelite towns. I'm reading between the lines here. I don't know exactly, but I see it probably like this. Nahash was destroying the towns one at a time up the Jordan River Valley. An Ammonite across the Jordan River on the east side of the river. And he was like, he began as a bully, and he just started to grow and get bigger and started to take more and more from other people and collected an army and became bigger and bigger. And he just a cruel Ammonite, and his army is growing and it's getting stronger. And he has designs on all of Israel. He was powerful. He was strong. He was cruel. He was greatly feared. The people in the area knew who he was and what he had done and how barbaric he had been. And they also knew that they could not defend themselves against this Nahash, the Ammonite. He would bring his army and surround a town and taunt them and basically tell them, if you don't surrender immediately, I will come in and destroy every person in the town, enslave them, destroy them, kill them. All of Israel was terrified of him that knew about Nahash, the Ammonite. Nahash knew that if he destroyed Jabesh, or even if he gouged out the eye of every man, that all of Israel would be afraid of him and bow down to him. You just imagine this behind-the-scenes story of, I'll tell you what I'll do. Instead of destroying all of you, I'm just going to go in and I'm going to gouge the eye out of every person in town. Just imagine the terror that would put when we deal with stories from ISIS and what's going on in the Middle East and our hearts are broken by the cruelty. Just reminded a little bit about Nahash the Ammonite, and I kind of see that in similar categories. It brings terrible fear into the hearts of the people. Well, Saul became king at about the same time. Saul hears the cry as the messenger comes from Jabesh Gilead and comes to Gilgal, and that's where Saul is living. He's a farmer. Even though he's been anointed king, he still really doesn't know what to do as king. It's not like anybody told him, "Well, what do you do as king now?" So he's doing what he always does. He's out in his field working, and the messengers come and into the town, and they're screaming and crying, "What's happening, and what Nahash is going to do?" And Saul kind of says, "What's all the commotion in town?" And he goes into town, and he hears the story of the threat, So this kind of becomes the time that Saul steps up as king, and it's his first story. It's the first time that we read about Saul's responsibilities as king. The people are crying out in utter terror and utter fear, and so we see, how does Saul respond when he comes to this moment in his life. The response of Saul. So Saul responds, and in this story, he rises up to defend his people. He becomes the king. He begins to do the work of the king. And the first thing that I noticed about Saul's response, it really isn't so much about Saul as it is about the Lord here completely. And in verse 6, it says, "When Saul heard their words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him." See, Saul was somehow connected to God at that point, that when the threat came and when it became known to Saul's heart, somehow he was so connected with God that God just came right over him. See, God and Saul were close at that time. They were connected. He was connected. God had chosen him as king. God had called him to be king. God had given him the responsibility. And God said, "I'm going to be with you." Through Samuel the prophet, God said to Saul, "I want you to know, you're not just king on your own, but I'm going to continue to be with you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to guide you. In fact, if you just do what I lead you to do, you will lead my people Israel." God never took his presence away from the people because they chose Saul or wanted a king of Saul, but it says the Spirit of God came over him. There was a initial responsiveness of Saul to the circumstances and to the power of God and to the authority of God. So the Spirit of God came upon him. I think how important it is for us to desire and to seek and to be open to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives when we face difficult times. You know, with the power of God, with the Spirit of God, when we go through difficult times, how much better off we are. We know that and how true it is. You know, we can go through difficult and dark and black times and kind of be all alone, or we can go through them with the presence of the power of God. This story just reminds me that God was there. The truth is, in the New Testament day, God promises he's with us too. His Holy Spirit lives within us. It's not like you have to ask the Holy Spirit to come and be with you when you go through a difficult time. Jesus said, the Father will send the Holy Spirit and he will be with you all the time. That's something to celebrate and be thankful for. Number one, when he heard the words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Saul was listening to God. I see it this way. This is how I imagine this story. Number two, it says here that Saul burned with anger. Saul burned with anger. You know, anger is an interesting thing to think about as Christians. You know, kind of the stereotype, at least at one point in my life, I thought, well, anger is wrong. It's not right to be, you know, we don't ever want to be angry. And that's not true. Jesus was angry. He was angry at injustice. He wasn't angry that somebody insulted him. He just didn't seem to have that response at all. He was angry when they hurt other people. He was angry when they had no compassion for people. Well, Saul had a righteous anger here. It wasn't a selfish anger. He was angry because of the injustice that was happening. And so he rose up and he warned the people and he called them together and he took the oxen and he cut them apart to send them to all the towns of Israel and said, "This is what's going to happen. This is what will happen if we don't unite and we stand up and be strong together." And so Saul had the discernment in this story to gather the people together. He knew that when they worked together, when they came together, that they could overcome this enemy. And so they did. The people turned out, and the words here that I think are interesting says they turned out as one man. He drew them together as one man. Just think of that. Now all of Israel that had been kind of loosely connected and been a lot of divisions and problems and relationships and the tribes and who had what land and who was following the law and all those things. And Saul was able for a time to bring them all together and bring them together as one man. They knew that they needed to be together. They needed to unite together. There's something else that Saul did that I think is so significant to understanding who Saul was at this point, and that is that he sought out Samuel. He sought out the prophet of the Lord. We say that because he says to them that who will come out for Saul and Samuel? He was linked with the prophet, the man of God, the man who was speaking here, and he was saying that, you know, come out and respond to the voice of the Lord here. Saul shows a certain need for dependence on Samuel in this case and on the words of the Lord. Saul shows a certain humility that's evident here in the beginning of his reign. I bring out that word humility because later on in Saul's life we find how he has lost the humility and then he loses everything. And so Saul does what's right. He seeks out God's help. he seeks out Samuel and they go to battle together. He says, Samuel, you're coming with me. Again, it says, we are going. Samuel and Saul are going, and we're here, and the Lord will come, and the Lord will help us. And that's exactly what happened. This is one of the great victories that we find in the book of 1 Samuel of God's people at Jabesh Gilead. He separated his army, we're told, into three parts, three units. He was strategic about it, and whatever he surrounded, and then he poured into the Ammonite camp. Would have been right before dawn, if I understand the description, and total victory over the Ammonite army. I don't know how many people the Ammonites were. It's a large number of Israelites, and we really don't have as always in the Old Testament, we don't have all the details of the story, but we have a lot of them, and we just know that they come and they engage the Ammonites in battle, and the Ammonites' threat is destroyed. The plague that has brought such terror to Israel has been taken care of. It was a great victory. After the battle, Saul shows us another part of his character and a little bit else. He shows us the character of mercy. It says, the people then said to Samuel, who was it that asked, shall Saul reign over us? Bring these men to us and we will put them to death. But Saul said, no one shall be put to death today. For this day the Lord has rescued Israel. Saul showed a degree of mercy here. He could have said to his enemies inside Israel, yeah, when I was appointed king, you're the one that went out and you're the one that talked about it and you're the one that said we won't support him and you undermined and you caused all these problems and so you're going to get what you deserve today. But Saul would have none of that. He said no. And he gives two reasons for it. It says, but Saul said, no one shall be put today, for on this day the Lord has rescued Israel. I see that kind of as two parts here. He says to them, you know, this day is God's victory. This is what God has done for Israel. This isn't what I've done. It's not up to me to judge these people. It's not up to me to bring death to these people. It's not up to me as king to make that decision to take their life. He said, the Lord has rescued Israel. And I think this is key to understanding where Saul was at this point. His heart recognized and responded that it was God who had the victory. It was God that he needed to be thankful for. So many times in life we forget about God being in control. We forget that God is able to marshal the events and the things of life, and he's there present in the battle, whether it's victorious or it's not victorious. And details of our lives, we know that God is there. And Saul at this point in his life recognized that God was there. I see in this response not only the mercy of Saul, but also the recognition, the acknowledgement of the hand of God. He knows that God rescued them. Again, at this point, Saul has a heart that honors God. God lifts up Saul. You know, the scriptures talk about when we humble ourselves before the Lord, he will lift us up. And understanding what that means is kind of something to really think about and dwell on. But there's a reality when you humble yourself before God, he is able to do his work. He is able to work in your life. He's able to work in the people that you have influence over when you have a humble spirit. And here Saul showed that humble spirit and God lifts him up. Samuel says, come, let us go back to Gilgal and affirm the kingship. Samuel said, Saul, you did right today. Samuel always spoke the truth. Remember what we said about Samuel in the past, that none of his words fell to the ground. Everything he said was of the Lord. And so he said to Saul that day, Saul, you did what's right. You got it right, Saul. He said, and so we're going to go back to Gilgal, and we're going to do this again about the kingship, and we're going to say God's chosen Saul's king, and we're going to give an opportunity for the people to respond to that. And so they go back to Gilgal, and it's the way I see it, to go back into town, and people are very relieved, of course, the Ammonite threat is gone, and so now it's not just some of the people, but all the people around Israel now are affirming Saul as king. This time, all the people, it says, the word all there, respond and join the celebration. They worshiped, and they had a great celebration. At this point, we could say of Saul, he has started well, and his heart has been right with God. Next week, we're going to move into the next story of Saul's life. I want to invite you to read it. If you have a Bible at home, start with chapter 13, and just invite you to study the next chapter of Saul's life. Read it, think about it, and pray about it, and say, God, what do you say to me in this scripture? which is the question that every one of us should ask of the Lord, and especially invite our young men, a part of our church family. Read and see what God says to you about the life of Saul. Would you stand as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the scriptures, God, that contain the living Spirit of God. I pray, God, that we would sense your Spirit speaking to us, whether we're reading in the Old Testament, in the book of Samuel, or in the Gospels, or anywhere through the Bible, that our hearts would be saying, God, what do you say to us through these people and in these stories and in these words? Lord God, teach us, I pray. I pray that we would learn from the life of Saul. I pray, God, that whatever it is in our hearts and our spirits and our experiences and our challenges, Lord God, that we would sense your Spirit to guide us and speak to us, I pray. Thank you for your word. Thank you for each person that's here today. Pray you'd bless them and be with them. In Jesus' name.